have you tonight. Live stream or wherever you tune in from, it's good to have you also. Happy Wednesday! Everybody smile big. Yeah, you smile because you're in church, amen? All right, well, got some things going on. First off, we do have to hang out tonight after worship. And also, as always, we have kids' church, so that's happening tonight. But a couple different things. First off, is don't forget, everybody say this Friday.
This Friday
is our bowling night at Southwest Bowl from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you are going bowling on Friday and you haven't signed up, please sign up in the back. We'd love to enter the names beforehand. That way we can get them to start bowling. If you come that night and then sign up, you still come, but we'll have to enter you at that point. So again, the night is free other than the food that you eat, okay? And so you can eat nothing and the whole night will be free, but that's no fun. So bring some food, money for food, but the rental, lane rental, and the shoes are free that night. And also then the 21st of this month, Saturday morning, we have a men's breakfast. We're gonna follow up to our month of Proverbs from the daily reading in August. So come on out to that. Sign up back that way. What am I doing wrong? Okay, but I was talking about the men's breakfast. I'm not worried about the women's coffee. My goodness, maybe. I'm on an order, please. All right, so the men, sign up the back, and we're going to follow up to that August reading. And if you didn't read the book of Proverbs that month, come out anyway. We're going to talk about it. And then the last charity month, we do have ladies' coffee at 9 a.m. here at the church. So, my goodness. May all stand up tonight and let's worship Jesus together.
What beside me?
Thank you. got it.
Write the whole thing. I love those.
The fields we have tonight.
I got it. I was watching for a while.
God was supposed to fall and dead with 85 degrees. What's going on? Let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, we thank you to be here on this wonderful Wednesday night, to be in the house, be in your presence, be with one another. Blessings on Kids Church tonight, and you hang out tonight downstairs, and that you're there, and you're speaking very loud and clear. We're building young people's lives with the Word. I thank you for that, your Scriptures. I pray we give tonight, Lord, to continue honoring from our hearts and our worship, because you are good, you deserve our best, and we honor you with our first fruits. And we thank you for the goodness that's always with us and leading the way in front of us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we all say,
Amen.
Amen. If you have something, you can bring it down. Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we are. So if you have a Bible tonight, you can turn there. And we are going to be in this for a little while, talking about faith. And what better place to talk about faith than be in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not sure who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. Some St. Paul, some maybe Apollos, or somebody else. But it's the wonderful, if you want to go to a book in the Bible that brings the Old Testament home in explanation into the New Covenant, Hebrews is the place to do it. And you can spend some time in there to Jesus, who's the great high priest, and Jesus is the sacrifice and fulfillment of the whole entire thing in every aspect of it. Hebrews points that out. He's the greater Moses, he's the greater everything. In other words, all the Old Testament points into Jesus, and he brings it to fulfillment. But in the midst of Hebrews chapter 11, we have this great passage on faith, where faith is given a definition. Then, looking back into the Old Testament, it brings forth some of the great stories and characters of the Old Testament, talks about how that they lived by faith. So we're continuing that tonight. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just go back to verse 1, and then we'll jump up to verse 5 in a moment. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How many of you hope for something? Well, I hope your greatest hope is in God. And I hope your greatest hope is in the kingdom to come. That's the assurance of the things that we hope for. And certainly then living in the conviction of things not seen. Again, that is not only God himself, but again, all the things you hope for. We don't see it quite yet. And the definition of faith that's drawn out through the stories that we find here that are listed in Hebrews 11. But faith is believing, ongoing belief, that has built into it or comes with it trust. I believe that God exists.
Amen.
But I trust him.
Amen.
And faith always then brings life response. I hear the gospel, faith is born in me, I respond in faith. But then, as we know, the Christian life entails a way of living. So faith is belief, is trust, And now then I live, again, the actions of my life, the way I think, the way I speak, the way I go about perceiving things. I live by faith. I live by faith in what I do not see. I live by faith in things that I hope for. I live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Faith grows. You can have faith the size of a mustard seed and move a mountain, but yet faith does grow. And I'm thankful that faith the size of a mustard seed moves a mountain, because it was faith the size of a mustard seed that I found my salvation. When I got saved, I didn't have great faith. I just responded. That's like mustard seed faith. But since I've been in the Christian faith for as long as I have, my faith has grown and it has become stronger. So we live by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17, drawing from the Old Testament, the righteous live by faith. So we want to approach life, and we live by faith in what we don't see. We live by faith in the things that we hope for. Righteousness is imparted to us because of our faith. We're only made righteous because of our faith in Jesus. Can you earn your righteousness? No. That's why you can be, listen to me, you can be the best person who ever lived and still be lost in your sin. Everybody needs Jesus. So you can't earn your salvation, nor can you earn your righteousness. Righteousness is imparted to us because of our belief, our faith. Believing that Jesus is who he is and did what he did, we impart righteousness. Now, do the actions of our life, therefore, need to line up with that righteousness? Yes. But you don't earn it, right? So the righteous live by faith. Now, it rolls into, again, some of these stories. So last week, we talked about Cain and Abel and the heart of sacrifice and how that's important. But verse 5, let's talk about a kind of a figure that we find in the Old Testament. Not a lot said about this guy, but yet he's sort of brought up a little bit here. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And it rolls into, after that verse 7, it rolls into Noah. Enoch. So again, let's actually go back to the Old Testament to where Enoch is mentioned. So Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, if you pay attention to anything on the internet that swirls around anything to do with biblical text, you'll hear what's called the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch was not written by this guy Enoch. It's supposed to be a tribute to him, but was not written by him. It has not been counted as canon, though it can have some light on outside biblical writing of Jewish source to things that we see in Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's pretty straightforward to book the Jew quotes from it, but it's never been counted as canon. We don't draw it as, we don't teach it as the Scriptures. Okay? So if you ever hear of that, why is it not in the Bible? Well, it's because of the way it works. Let's put it that way. And we trust that the Holy Spirit has guided what we hold in our hands today. Amen. But anyways, just to say that, if you hear about that. I mean, it's not that it's useless. There are things we can see there, but we don't count it as Scripture, as canon of the Bible. Anyway, all right, so Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. I have a cousin named Seth. Anyways. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. So he lived to be 930 years old. Wow. And he had other sons and daughters. Because all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. So why so long versus today? Who knows? It could be just simply the impact of sin and the decay of the world. It can draw shorter, but we will be redeemed in time past that in the new heaven, new earth, right?
Yeah.
You think you feel a certain way when you're 55 years old, imagine being 900. I can't even imagine. But anyways, a whole different deal then. So when Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enoch. Now there's some translations that have Enoch there, but that's not the Enoch we're talking about. And Seth lived after his father Enoch 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Because all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enoch lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Just all the days of Enoch were 905 years and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. And Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Guess all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. And when Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. And he lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Just the days that he lived were 895 years and he died. I just put a saying in his name. Anyway, verse 18. And when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. And Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. That's all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Now, here's Enoch. And this is all that it says about Enoch. There's no other things about him, but yet we find him in the book of Hebrews. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's all said. There's no other stories about him in the Old Testament. He walked with God, then he was not, because God took him. Again, as we said last week with Cain and Abel, in the actual story of Cain and Abel, it leaves a little bit of a mystery why Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain was not. It wasn't explained, but Hebrews 11 sheds more light on it. Same thing with Enoch. In the Genesis story, it leaves a mystery as to why Enoch walked with God and was not. He was found no more on the earth. But Hebrews chapter 11 sheds a little light on it. So let's go back to Hebrews 11. Let's read again what we read at the start here and fill in kind of between the lines in Genesis 5. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. What happened? By what? By faith, Enoch was taken. And now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Well, how do you please God? Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
If you want to draw near to him, you've got to believe, and that he rewards those who seek him. Enoch was walking with God in such a way that God took him before he died. If you want to say, took him out of the earth. Okay? And the Bible says in Hebrews, the reason that happened is because Enoch lived by faith. In other words, somehow, some way, a relational thing was happening between Enoch and God, that Enoch lived in such a way that God was so pleased with him, he took him before he died. To what? Relation with him. Right? And it's really interesting, the foreshadowing we see here, we'll get to that in a minute. But we draw from this something very simple. You cannot please God without faith. Which is why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain was not. Because you can do all the right things, but lack faith, and it simply is not pleasing to God. You see that? You can live, you can do all the Christian stuff on the outside. To have what Jesus accused the Pharisees of, the whitewashed tomb. You look great out here, but inside, it is nothing but bones and mess in there. It is the like faith that pleases him. You realize that God is listening. He's simply pleased by living in a way of belief and trust that then begins to guide how you live. That pleases him. You can try to live the Christian life and do it just by your own willpower, or you're trying to put on your face for people to see, all that business. That doesn't please God. Remember we said this last week. We asked the question, you know, Jesus teaches us to pray. And what does he say to do when you pray? What does he say to do? Go to the secret. Go to the room. Close the door. And when nobody sees you doing it, he rewards you. Amen. Now wait. In Hebrews 11 said, faith pleases God because you believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who seek him. Go to the room, close the door, and when God sees what you do in secret, he rewards you. Why would he reward what you do in secret? Because there's nobody watching, and the only reason he would actually do it is because you believe. Right. You're not out in front of a bunch of people putting on a show. Right. You do it when nobody's watching, and the only reason you would ever do it when nobody's watching is because you actually believe. Why would you? You only pray because you believe. And you only do it in secret because you believe. That's faith. And you trust in prayer that he's there and that he hears you and he'll respond. That's faith. You see what I'm getting at? That kind of faith pleases God. Now, does a perfect life please God? I'm not asking for that. Are you living your righteousness out? Yes. But he's not saying a perfect life pleases him. Faith pleases him because a faith life is a life of a journey of growing. He knows you're going to be growing if you live by faith. You see that? So Enoch lived in such a way, a life of faith that pleased God, that God simply one day, for whatever reason, said, hey, I'm taking you up. Now, what's interesting about this is the Bible. And we can see in Hebrews 11, there were a whole bunch of people in the Old Testament that were counted and commended as righteous because of their faith. We talked about Abel last week. We talked about Noah next week. After that comes Abraham and all. Why weren't they taken? They all died. The Bible talks about where they were buried. I don't know, because there's something about Enoch. And there's something of a bigger picture happening with what goes on here. But before we get there, I'm getting a tad ahead of myself. Understand this. Faith is the pathway of ultimately being with God. You draw that ring on. His faith caused God to grab hold of him and take him from this earthly life to be with him in a more real and close, not that God's not real with us, not close with us, but you know what I'm saying? He took him to him. Mm-hmm. Right? The path of faith ultimately ends up with being with God in that way. Now again, I am all for you grabbing hold of things in faith and believing for the here and now. Amen. Do so daily. But again, the book of Hebrews is actually a big picture book of faith. Hebrews 11. And the big picture here is, if you stay in faith, you will end up with him.
Amen.
And he will take you from this life to be with him. and all the hardship and turmoil and things you face and all the things that aren't fair and the things that aren't right, he's going to make it right with him.
Praise God.
And yes, he can show up in the now in your hardships and your turmoil and the things that aren't fair. Yes, and amen. But the big picture is our great hope is eternal life.
Yes.
Right. And we're going there if you stay in faith.
Right.
Yeah. See? That's where Enoch ended up. In that reality of closeness that we have, but it's fits and starts and glimpses. Things like this because yet he has not returned in that way. Right? What's really interesting is Enoch is the seventh generation. Now this is why I kept alluding to. So think about this. Enoch is the seventh generation. If we look at the creation story, seven is completion.
Yes.
Right? But that completion ended with a day of what? Rest. And from then on, we find it in the Old Testament and certainly in the law, then there's a series of seven that happen. Seventh day, the what? Sabbath. And Sabbath is to do what? Shabbat. Stop. Rest. Settle into. Nuach is another Hebrew word for that. Settle into it. So, seven, Sabbath day, rest. Then it rolls into all the way up to the year of Jubilee, which is 7 is 49 plus 1 to 50 years of Jubilee, when all the land is released back to the original owners and slaves are set free and debt is canceled. This is a big picture rest. It rolls into the seventh, okay? Enoch being the seventh generation was taken early into his what? His rest. And he did not experience death. You see that? Enoch is a template for us to understand that ultimately in God is our Sabbath rest.
Amen.
Yep. Jesus is to fulfill. Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? Our ultimate rest is from sin. Our ultimate rest is from the embattlement of this world. Our ultimate rest is from the cares, the worries, the turmoil, and the things that we face, into all things being made new when we will face those things no more. That's our ultimate static rest. Seventh. Enoch being the seventh generation, being taken before he died into his rest is really the prototype foreshadowing what's to come. If you stay in faith, you will find your rest.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And I say this all the time, listen to me, And there's some people, I think, when this is said, they kind of get worried that we're giving a little leeway for things. I say this, I cannot promise your life is going to be perfect just because you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. And some people get bugged by that because, well, isn't God here to fix all of our problems and take care of all of our needs? And, well, he will be with us, he hears us, but it doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. And if you can stay in faith through the imperfections that we go through in life, in this world, the cares of this world, you will find your rest. It's promised. I can promise you that you will find your rest. I can't promise you life's going to be perfect. I can promise you that you will find spots and moments and seasons of rest in this life. I can't say that God will consistently instill peace that passes all understanding, but peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the understanding that God has you in the middle of your mess.
That's right.
I can't promise you a perfect life. What I can say is if you stay in faith, that at some point you will enter this rest that cannot be reversed nor can it be taken.
Hallelujah.
That's what Enoch speaks. And in Ashley, to stay in faith in such a way that it just simply pleases God. I kind of, God being our Father, it's as if he sees what you're going through, and he's there when you don't realize it, and his grace is often working through things in ways we don't see, and he's working for our good in ways we don't see, you know what I'm saying? He's getting you through, but all the while, like, you're standing there going, I'm proud of you because you're standing in faith, even though you don't see it all right now. I think it's what he said. Can you please? You knew your kids weren't perfect, but man, they did a lot of stuff that you were very pleased with.
Yeah.
They could have brought home art from second grade art class. You don't even know what it was, but you stuck that thing on your refrigerator. That's an amazing piece of art right there. What is it? I have no idea, but it's amazing. It wasn't perfect, but it pleased you. And you displayed it. I think faith pleases God in that way. We're still a little bit of a mess. We're still working this out. We're still going through it. He's my son and daughter right here. Look at them staying with him. Look at life whipping all around them, and they're just forging their way through. He's pleased by that. Remember Jesus said, blessed is the one who built their house on the rock and not sand, because when life gets crazy, your house stands. Notice he alluded to that life's going to get crazy. Mm-hmm. How'd you build in your house?
Amen.
He didn't say you build on a rock and never face a storm.
Right.
He said, could you build on a rock because you're going to face a storm.
Right.
Pretty much what he alluded to. Mm-hmm. That we stay in faith. So again, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What do I hope for? Rest. I think it is the desire of most people that right before they jump in bed at night or when they do, that they can take a deep breath and go, it's going to be all right. My hope isn't just for that, but my hope is the perfected side of rest. Paul said, talking about the resurrection of the dead, he said, look, continue in these things because your labor is not in vain. In other words, what you go through and what you do in this life is not worth nothing. It gets you somewhere. In that great chapter, the resurrection of the dead, and all things are made new, and our bodies are perfected into eternity with Him, new heaven, new earth. It's not in vain because our reward is there. Can you imagine that there will be nothing left that makes you cry? I'm not a crier, but that still sounds good. Can you imagine nothing left that brings pain to your body? This morning, I was getting ready to go to work, and I had a handheld mirror, and I dropped it. Broke. Piece of glass got me out of it. So I have a little cut at the worst place in the world you can get a cut on your hand, right at that little, that's a little butter, man. I actually looked at the piece of glass in there. But anyway, that won't happen anymore. You see what I'm getting at? Now I wash my hand. Ow! That hurts. You know what I'm saying? These things will be gone. The bickering of our world, the division of our world, the racism we find in our world. Think about all the things that cause our world to be a mess. And certainly then the actions of sin itself. And the fullness of them go. And the Lord will be with us as we are with Him as Enoch was taken to Him. That's what I hope for. I like it all right now. I do. I still dropped the glass mirror today. My fault. The way did this to me. What the devil, demon did knock out of my hand? Me. I hurt myself. Rest. It's coming. Stay in faith. Believe. Trust. Shape in your life where your labor is not in vain, though sometimes it feels like it's getting absolutely nowhere. So don't give up. Keep striving. Keep believing. Keep fighting. And when we are in the midst of a mess, we just believe God's going to get us through one way or another. It's got to be a miracle. He's going to strengthen us. Something's going to happen. We're going to get through. I'm staying in faith. I would hate to know the many people who gave up. And the very things that they really wanted were coming, and they just simply gave up. And they quit. Quit fighting the fight. They quit striving. They quit standing firm. They quit sometimes just holding on. I saw this. This is not original for me, but it's really good, so I'll tell you. Yeah, I saw this on social media. It said, if all you are is holding on to one last string, make sure it's a string from the hem of his garment.
Amen.
All right?
Right.
If that's all you got, I don't know if that's a direct quote, but it's something like that. Yeah. That's good. Whoever wrote that, kudos to them.
Yeah.
I just stole it. All right. If that's all you got left, don't let go.
That's right.
Stay in faith. See that? God sees you hanging on. And he's up there going, hang on, I got you. It doesn't feel like, I got you. Rest is coming. Amen? I think that's what Enoch is speaking to us. Life of faith. Boy, in one sense, so my daughter's getting married December the what? I got the money. Relax. I'll get on the date. I don't remember those days. My assistant on my calendar writes all my kids' birthdays, and she does that for me, so that way I don't have to remember. Hey, there it is. Well, yeah. Anyway, in December, hope's getting married, right? The 27th. My son would tease her. You realize Jesus is going to come back before you get married? And they tease her, like, she's like, be upset. She really wants to be married. So there's still a chance, because it's not until December, but it's coming close. She's almost there. Anyway, I totally forget what I was going with. So there's a lot of things that I want to experience in this life yet. I know we live in a messed up world. I know it's not perfect. But yeah, I still enjoy things about it.
Amen.
There's still things I look forward to. But man, an after come Lord Jesus. If you know what I mean. That's good too. And then what's going to come when he comes? Amen.
Right.
I'm looking forward to some stuff, but if he happens to come back tomorrow, I'll be like, I'm glad to take it. You know what I mean? Because of that rest that's coming. So, let's stay in faith. Next week we're going to talk about Noah. That guy, people thought he was crazy, but get it right. We'll talk about him next week. Alright? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's stand up straight. Hey, we're like 5 minutes early tonight. That was short. That's alright. We're going to pray with Brooke tonight. So Brooke, if you come down here, I want all the ladies to come down and gather around Brooke. We're going to pray with Brooke tonight. But let's close in prayer, and we're gonna have the ladies pray with Brooke tonight, and we're gonna exercise faith on the situation going on with her. Amen. Lord, I thank you that we are living by faith. We believe, we trust, our life is for you. I do pray you are very present and active now, but yes, Lord, we do look forward to our rest. I pray we're encouraged to stay in faith until we get there. I thank you for the rest that's coming, the fulfillment of that seventh day of rest, and the big picture of it. I thank you for that. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, whole lot of stuff going on, my answer is, as we were talking about, I've got a few clients for that, which is